We're on Daf Yud Aleph tonight. Let me go further. So we're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, I'll begin around three lines from the top. Okay, the Amar Rav Bar Machasya Amar Chacham Bar Guri Marav Kol Yir Shigago Teh Gavoi Mibeit HaKnesset. Any city whose roofs of the building are higher than the shul. In other words, the shul should be, you know, at the highest point in the city. let me see everyone 1 second. Okay, I'm seeing everybody. All right. So he says that any city that the roofs of the buildings are higher than the shul, the sof chareivan, in the end, the city will be destroyed. He says, and he can understand it means that where the shul is should be the most kabbatic place in the city, but also you could say that it's saying that it represents, that's the most important thing should be in the city, is the shul. He says here, Shinemar, L'romeim et beit Elokeinu l'amid et charvotav. Now the Gemara quotes the beginning of the Pasuk. You've seen this many times in Daf Yomi. The Gemara quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, but you really need the end of the Pasuk to understand the whole Raya. So it says that through the permission of the kings of Paras, this Pasuk is in Sefer Ezra. It's describing when they go back after the Galut Bavel and the rebuilding in Eretz Israel. So they got permission from the Persian kings, the Romeim Ben Elkanah, like to raise the house of the Lord, Ulahamid and Chorvotav, and to like reconstruct it. And then the Pasuk says, Latet Lanu Geder B'Yehuda B'Yerushalayim, to give us like a fence, a protection in Yehuda B'Yerushalayim. The implication of the Pasuk is that when the shul is in full bloom, like in the way it should be, at the highest point, then you're protected. If the shul's not that way, then you're going downhill. He says, but the Gemara says, "Bahani mila b'batim." It's only talking if the houses are higher than the shul. About the kishkushe v'ivruri leitlanba, he says, like the forts and the towers, it means like they can have certain roofs, and then you can't use the roofs. In Mizman Chazal, most of the roofs I think were flat. So these are buildings like, you know, going up with maybe like a pointed roof. That's not so important. Amar Bashi, Ana Abdi Lamata Machasya Delo Charva. I made Mata Machasya that it would not be destroyed because I made sure that the shul was in the highest place. The Gemara says Vaha Charva, but it did get destroyed. And Rashi points out that Ravashi was the Rosh Hashiva in Mata Machasya. So the Gemara says, "Me'oto avon lo charva." From that avera was destroyed, but not because of that avera. Now, a lot of like they had in the Morona Daf Yomi that you know, this halakha is, you know, more in the breach than in the observation. So there's a little bit from the Mishnah Berurah. We'll quote briefly and then we'll move on. So he quotes here. Mishnah Berurah says like this. He says, Yesh makomo chain is harin bazeh. There are some places they're not so careful about this, about building, you know, other structures higher than the shul. The kadfu achronim shatam, the kaiman shisham harbe batei of the gilim shigimoyim beit haknesset. Since there are many churches apparently that are higher than the shul, in kaim b'lam hachileka hakeir lebeit haknesset. So there's no. In other words, the idea is that the shul should be this unique building that's above everything else, but it doesn't work that way in a Christian society. They have their things. But it's appropriate to be careful with this, whatever you could do. He says, because the Gemara is very much machmir on it. So it's just ha'ara. All right, let me just do a few more lines, and I'll pause again for some questions and comments, all right? So the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav Tachad Yishmael Lo Tachad Nachri." It's more preferable that a person should be working for or subjugated by Yishmael. Yishmael is usually, we think, the Arabs, below Tachad Nachri, and not underneath the Nachri. Rashi learns Edom. In other words, better Arab society than Edom, and Chazal usually identify with Rome and Christian society. So it's really coming out that you're better off, you know, in under Arab society, and Jews generally, even though there were a lot of difficulties in both Christian and Arab societies, but generally they fared better under the Arabs than they did under the Christians. Generally, there were times of tremendous persecution with the Arabs as well. But if you look at the arc of history, you know, Jews have lived more better under the Arabs than under the Christians. So he says here, Tachat Nachri v'lo Tachat Chabar. It's better to be under Edom and not under Chabar. Chabar is this nation, it sounds like a very bad nation. They were near Persia, and they were like bad news. He says, Tachat Chabar v'lo Tachat Tamid Chacham. Now the Gemara shifts gears a little bit. It's better to be under Chabar, not be like working for a Tamid Chacham. So here the reason is not that the Tamid Chacham is going to be nasty or horrible to you. It's the other way around. You have so many obligations vis-a-vis the Tamid Chacham. In other words, you have to behave a certain amount of kavod and respect and deference to Tamid Chacham. And if you don't do that, you'll end up getting punished. So as between those two choices, the Gemara says you're better off with a Chabar, which is like a tough master, than working for a Tamid Chacham and not, you know, being mitnahe kishura, not acting appropriately. Tachat Tamid Chacham lo tachat yatom almana. And then, if you have a choice between working for a Tamid Chacham or working for yatom and almana, an orphan or a widow, so the orphan and the widow are very much protected in the Torah, like it says in the Chumash, don't afflict them, and if you afflict them, they'll call out to me, I'll hear their cry. It means Hashem is the protector of the yatom and the almana. So you don't want to, you know, mess up with the yatom and the almana, because then you're going to be in bad straits. You know, there's a did I mention this here? There's a I think it's from the Kutzker Rebbe. He says that in that pasuk, you have a double verb three times. Did I ever mention this to you? It says, "Kol amanavi atom lo tonon im anei tane oto." If you afflict him, anei tane. Now, the double verb is usually just like emphasis, you know, like strengthening it. But he says it's very unusual to find three double verbs in one pasuk. It says, "Im anei tane oto kim tsaok yitzakila." He calls to me, "Shemoa eshma tsakato." So anei tane. He's going to cry to me. Shamo Eshma Tzakato. I'm really going to hear it. So the Kutzker Rebbe says that when you do something to a yatom and almana, so every time he feels that if the person who had passed away were here, this wouldn't be happening to me. In other words, if my father was here, my husband was here. In other words, like people tend to. You know, they oppress the weaker people. That's the way it just works, like, unfortunately, in society. You know, people, you know, gang up on the person who's weak. So, like, they feel like if my father were here, so the person wouldn't be doing this horrible thing to me. So he feels the pain twice as much. And this is like Rav Simon was saying about people, you know, ganging up on the weak person. So it says, so when you afflict him, it's like a double affliction, because not only are you nasty right now, but he feels like the pain from the loss of the parent or the husband or whatever it is. And then when he cries out, he's got like this heartfelt cry to Shemayim, and then Shemoah Shema Tzakto, I'm really going to hear it, and I'm going to take care of you. And the Torah says, so then your kids are going to be orphans, and your wives will be widows, meaning I don't need to tell you where you're going to go. Anyway, that's the piece with that. Okay, let me just do one more piece here, and then I'll pause, okay? V'amarav abar machasya marav chamabar guri amarav kol choli v'lo choli me'ayim. In other words, like, in the panoply of illnesses, every illness is better, but you don't want the choli me'ayim. I don't see Michael. Is Michael Frank here today? I don't see him. Okay, Mike, is Michael here? Who's that? I don't know who the people are here. They don't identify themselves. Anyway, so it was every choli, not choli me'ayim, in other words, not the, like, intestinal disorders. He says, kol ke'ev below ke'ev lev. Any pain, not heartache, that's the worst. Kol mechush below mechush rosh. Mechush is like something like not so serious, but it passes. You don't want to have mechush rosh. I assume it's like headaches. Kol ra'a below isha ra'a. Anything bad, but you don't want a bad wife, that's really bad news in the house. You don't want to have anything like that. Okay, everybody can unmute themselves if you want. If any of you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, feel free to unmute and scream out. Anybody have anything to say? Everybody good? All right. So this David is here. Who's
Emmett? I got a question.
Yeah, what do we got, Yosef?
Do we know why or how Matamatsia was destroyed?
So I don't know, but I assume that it's like foreigners came in and destroyed it. That's what I assume.
Okay.
All right. The let me see. So D is David. Who's M.A.? M.A.? M.A., unmute yourself, M.A. M.A.?
It's Mayor.
Oh, Mayor. Okay, I got it. Yeah. And who's HC? Who's HC? HC is who? HC. Okay, mute again. David, mute. Okay, Fern, you got to mute. Mute. HC, unmute yourself. HC? All right, I don't know who HC is. Okay, and M is Malka. Okay, let's see back in the further in the Gemara. But I'm a Rav Bar Masha.
HC says Howard Zimmerman.
What, who
HC
is?
HC says Howard Zimmerman.
Oh, Howard.
HC says Howard Zimmerman.
Okay. Howie, it's nice having you. Unmute yourself for a second and say hello.
How I know? I didn't know how to unmute myself.
Yeah, now you know. Yeah, Howie, I can't see you. Can you attach the camera?
I'm on a Stairmaster.
Oh, all right. I don't mind if you want to, but okay, fair enough. Okay, nice having you. Now, one M is Malka. Who's the other M? Who's the other M here tonight? All right. We'll figure this out. All right, let's go on. So, va'amarav abar mechasya, amarav kambar guri amarav, im you call hayamim diyo va'agamim kumusim, if all the oceans were ink, and agamim are marshes, but it really means, Howie, you have to mute yourself now, Howie, mute.
I have to mute myself.
Yeah, now you got to mute, yeah. So he says, im you call hayamim diyo va'agamim kumusim, and the marshes were reeds. It means the reeds in the marshes were quills. I mean, there was the marsh is filled with reeds, and they used the reeds to like write a sefer Torah. Ba'agamim kumusim, the shemayim iriot, and the heavens were like parchment. But it means like the heaven is like your canvas, so to speak. He says, v'chol b'nei adam lavlarim, and everybody was a scribe. Emasfiim latov chalal shel rishut. They would not adequately be able to write. Here they say the depth of the mind of the government, meaning that you need a big cheshbon to take into account all the things that go into governing. So the Gemara says, Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports this? Amra Misharshia, Shemayim Larum Ve'eretz La'omek, like the heavens above and the earth to the depths, Ve'leiv Malachim Ein Cheker. The heart of kings are beyond investigation. In other words, like, you need a lot of cheshbonot. There's so many things going on in government. Let me see the Rashi on that. He says, Chalasha Rishud, around the 10th narrow line, Omek libam shu tzarich liyot lo leiv l'kama medinot l'mas ha-katsuv l'kama l'kamot l'kama shvatim l'kul b'yamachad. I mean, in one day, you're handling affairs of state, taxes, this, that, the other. You know, it's a little bit like the President of the United States. You got so much on your plate every day. So that's what he's saying. Let me just see here for 1 minute. He quotes here, this is from this is in the Art Scroll in footnote 14. He says, Sfas Emes suggests that Gemara means King requires his degree of intelligence to run his country successfully, but as a mortal he cannot possibly have it. Only God is capable of such a task. It means like you need a lot of seichel to run a country, but that's the way the Sfas Emes takes it. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. But Amar Rava, again, the Gemara is just quoting a series of quotations from Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav. But Amar Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Yafet Tani L'Kalom Ke'ish L'Na Ored. That fasting is good for a dream. It means if a person has a bad dream that he feels, you know, is important for bad events. So fasting is a wonderful antidote for that. It says, Yafet Tanit L'Chalom Ke'esh L'Na'oret. In other words, a fast by a bad dream is like fire to like these pieces of flax. In other words, the fire, the piece of flax, like it's all burnt up, incinerated. So you've got this terrible dream. So fasting is going to do that to the bad dream. He says, Amar Rav Chista Uvo Bayom. Rav Chista says that the best way is to fast that day. It means at night you have the dream, and then the next day you get up, you fast. He says, Ba'amar Rav Yosef Afilu B'Shabbat. Rav Yosef says that even on Shabbos, a person's allowed to do Tanis Chalom. And the idea, this is the exception, when you're obviously on Kippur, you could fast on Shabbos, but a Tanis Chalom, you could also fast on Shabbos. And the idea is that the person is so upset about what the dream portends that his fasting is like a type of oneg for him. In other words, normally we do fasting as like a torment, inconsistent with the Shabbos. But for the person who's upset about what the dream, he has a dream, Chas Shalom, people are dying in his family or his business is going, you know, belly up. So his fasting is like a type of benefit for him. And the fact that that again, this building from the previous line, this is what he explained in the Art Scroll, that Rav Chisda said the best time is that day. If you could fast on any day, so you wouldn't be allowed to fast on Shabbos. From the fact that we let you fast on Shabbos, that's telling you that the fast that day is the key, is the key day to do it. Obviously, you're only fasting on Shabbos when you had the dream Friday night. He says, Rabbi Yeshua b'reid Rav Idi ikla l'bei Rav Ashi. So Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rav Idi, came to the house of Rav Ashi, abulei egla tilta. They made, like, egla tilta is a term of art, excuse me, it comes up in Shas in a number of places. It means like a fat, healthy calf. So here, Tosfos and Gittin says it means like the healthy calf. But here Rashi says it means it's the third calf, and apparently that calf is healthier, whatever, but you get the idea. He says, Amu le lito mar midi. He says, why don't you have something to eat? In other words, like, here we have this wonderful meal, why don't you eat it? So he says, Amar lahu betani yativna. He says, I'm fasting, so I can't eat. Now, normally, and they quoted this in the Aris Kol, the Mishnah points out, a person should not advertise he's fasting. If it's a Tanit Sibur, so then of course you could advertise that you're fasting. But it means if, let's say a person accepts upon himself a private fast. So if it's a private fast, so I shouldn't tell the whole world I'm fasting. I shouldn't tell anybody I'm fasting. That's just between me and the Ribono Shalom. But if I'm walking into a situation and the person is offering me some food and I don't want to insult them, so and I'm fasting, so then Mimela, I can say I'm fasting. So he says I'm fasting. So Amrulei v'lo savar leimar lahad Rabbi Yehuda. Don't you hold from what Rabbi Yehuda says? The Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Lova Adam Tani Toporeya, that a person, if he has a Sudas Mitzvah, he could break his fast and then fast another day. So you agreed to fast today, but here we have this nice meal, and so why don't you join us for this meal, and you'll fast a different day. So he said, Amarle Tani Chalomu, is no, you're right, normally by fast you could do that, but I'm doing a Tani Chalom, I'm fasting for a bad dream. But Amarav Amar Machasim Ramacham Bargur Amarav, Yafet Tani Lechalom Ke'esh Lena Oret, and here he's quoting the statement that fasting is good, like fire to like these little pieces of flax. Rav Chisda says it's most effective that day. If you had the dream the night before, and now you're fasting. But Rav Yosef says even on Shabbos. So Mela, I want to have an effective fast. I have fasting today. I'm not going to make it up because I want the fast to be like fresh now. All right, let me just get to the Mishnah, and then I'll open up the table again for some questions, comments.
How are you, Eric?
What?
Where on the page are you? I just joined.
We're on Yud Aleph, 11A, around 12 lines above where it gets wide. Okay?
Okay. What's the first word on the line?
Is Yosef Afilu B'Shabbat. Okay? It's around 10 lines above the Mishnah, Aaron. You see where it gets
wide? It's right after the two dots.
All right? Okay, welcome. Now, let's go back to the Mishnah where I'm going back to the Mishnah, the Gemara. The Gemara says that there are all these things that you can't do before Mincha because we're afraid you're going to get too absorbed and you won't daven Mincha. But if you did begin doing it, like you can't go to the bar or you can't have a meal, but if you began doing that, so fine, leave it, and then you'll daven Mincha later. And he says, V'minchilu ein mafsikin, if you began, we're not going to be mafsik. Then it says mafsik in the kriyishma, but you have to interrupt for kriyishma. And then it says ein mafsik in the tefillah. We're not mafsik for tefillah. So the Mishnah says twice, I'm not mafsik for tefillah. Then I'm not mafsik for tefillah. So we don't understand why the Mishnah is saying it twice. He says v'mechilu ein mafsik in mafsik in kriyishma, and you really need the next line. He says about mafsik in the tefillah. So the Gemara says, Hatana le Reisha. But the Tana just taught me that earlier in the Reisha of the Mishnah. Why is he repeating it? Ein mafsikin. So the Gemara says, Seifa Hatana le Dibrei Torah. The Seifa is bringing up a new topic that wasn't brought. We said that all that you can't do A, B, C, D, and E before Mincha, the Seifa is mentioning, let's say I was studying Torah. So it's saying that I would, if I'm studying Torah, I continue studying Torah and I don't break off for Mincha. So the Gemara says, "Detanya chaverim shu oskim b'Torah mafsikin lekriyat shema ve'ein mafsikin letefilah." The chaverim, the talmidei chachamim, who are busy studying Torah, they have to interrupt for kriyat shema, you know, whether it's the morning or the evening, but they don't interrupt for shmona esrei. Now that's the end of the brisa. Am Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu el kigon Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai b'chaver rav. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's only talking about a certain type of talmid chacham. If you like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Shimon bar Yochai is the author of the Zohar, and if you look at Tosfos, one second. Well, somebody says it. One minute. Let me see. Does somebody say here? One second. Anyway, so he
said... Fourth to last Tosfot.
No, that's not what I'm looking for, though, but thank you. All right. He says, right, so, but it means like this, that they're like Torah Tan Umanu Tan. Let me see, does he say it over there? Right. Anyway, so it means that Torah was their whole trade and profession, meaning that's all he did was Torah the whole day. That's the only thing they did. So he says here, Kion Rav Shimon Yochai v'Chabirav, Shetan Umanu Tan, Abal Kion Anu Mavsikim L'Kriyat Shema L'Tefila. But us, the garden variety people, and he means like even Tamina Chachamim, because this is Rav Yochanan speaking. Rav Yochanan is the Gadol Ador. So if you'd be like the Tana Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, say Nachinami, you don't have to break off to Davin, because your Torah is going to take, you know, priority. But like everybody else, so then in Nachinami, we have to break off for Kriyat Shema L'Tefila. But Hatani, but the Gemara asks a question. This brisa says, "Shem shem avsikin l'tefila, kachim avsikin l'kriyat shema." This brisa says that just like you don't interrupt for tefila, you don't interrupt for kriyat shema. Now, we said we had two categories. We have like the garden variety Tamid Chacham, so he breaks off for tefila and kriyat shema. Then we have Rav Shimon Bar Yochai; he only breaks off for kriyat shema. He doesn't break off for tefila. But now we have this brisa that says you don't have to break off for Kriyat Shema or Tefillah. So what is it talking about? He says Kachim Avsikin L'Kriyat Shema. He says Ki Tani Yahi B'Ibor Shana. That last brisa is talking about people who are convening to intercalate the year. In other words, they're the members of the Sanhedrin, and they're going to decide whether there's an extra month of Adar. So that is so chashuv, they don't have to break off for Kriyat Shema, and they don't have to break off for Tefillah either. The Amar Avada Barava, B'chein Tani Sabi de Hagronia, he says that Ravada Barava learned, and it was also taught by the Zkein in Hagronia, Amar Blazar Batsadik Shayinu Oskin B'Ibor Hashana B'Yavne, when we were Osek, we were busy with the Ibor Shana and Yavne is where the Sanhedrin was, Lo Yinu Mavsikin Lola Kriyat Shema V'Lo Tefillah. We wouldn't interrupt for Kriyat Shema, and we wouldn't interrupt for Tefillah. Okay? So, All right. Now, everybody who has a question can unmute if you have a question. Any questions? Everybody good?
Hi, Eric, it's Ruth. I just wanted you to know I joined you a little
welcome.
Bit late.
Welcome, Ruth. Did you get a Gemara?
I did not find one. I found a lot of others, but not that one, no.
But did you find
it? I'm listening.
Okay. Okay, but you were able to find it online, or you didn't look or whatever?
No, I did not have the resources,
okay.
No.
Okay, Ruth. Okay, nice having you. Okay, go mute back again, Ruth. Mute yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
I'll try to get one from my squall room some other time.
Okay, please mute yourself, okay? Okay, any other questions? Everybody else good? Okay, so I'm going to move on.
Thank you.
Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on. All right. All right, let's see. We're at the next Mishnah. Matnitin. Lo yetzei chayet b'machto samach l'chashecha. So we're talking about Friday afternoon. In other words, we're walking into Shabbos chronologically. So the Mishnah says a chayet, a tailor, shouldn't walk out with his pin late Friday afternoon. It's before Shabbos. He shouldn't walk out with the pin. Now we'll see in the Gemara, there's going to be a question whether he's got the pin stuck, let's say, in his lapel or in his hand. We'll see. There's different shitot with this. So he says, but he shouldn't go out Friday afternoon, Shemesh Kach V'Yetzei, because then we're afraid that maybe he'll forget, and then Shabbos comes, and he's walking around, and he's carrying, and he forgot, because he didn't prepare ahead of time. V'lo Alavlar B'Kumso. The Alavlar is the scribe, shouldn't go out with his quill, because it's Muxa, there's also one issue, but not Muxa issue, he'll forget about it, and he'll end up carrying. He says, below you faled kelav, a person shouldn't like delouse his garments. We'll see, not tonight. This will be tomorrow's Gemara. We'll discuss this, you know, by the light of the candle on Friday night, if you want to remove the lice from the garments. And I think it's saying killing the lice, actually. He says, below you kral or on air, and you shouldn't read by candlelight on Friday, because we're afraid you'll come to tilt the candle, and then you'll be chaya for melechet mavir. That's tomorrow night, that piece. He says, be'emet amru. When it says be'emet amru, means it was a well-accepted halacha. HaChazan, Roeh Heichan Tino Kokorin, the Chazan, so one way is to say that he's the person One second. Rashi is two pshatim on this, but the one we're going to use is right. he's looking to see where in the parsha where the kids are going to you know their lessons for tomorrow. Meaning, he's not going to look in any great depth in the sefer, but he just wants to glance and see, you know, exactly what he's going to look at school to see where the students should begin and the lessons the next day. So he can look where the children will read. In other words, tomorrow morning, he's going to be teaching the kids. So tonight, he's just going to glance at the sefer to see which of the portions are going to go over. So that, we're not afraid, like 30 seconds, we're not afraid he's shemiyateh. We're afraid that, in other words, he's a firm person, he knows it's Shabbos. We're afraid the concern is he's going to get engrossed in his learning and then come to tilt over the candle. So it's just like a brief looking, we're not afraid about that. He says, but he himself, he shouldn't like study by the candle. Similar to this, and this similarity is nothing to do with Shabbos. It's just saying harchaka drabanan, that the chachamim, you can see similarly we're concerned that people may get a little too comfy. So the zav shouldn't meet with the zav when they hear galavera. It means the key is the zava, the woman. You know, a woman, sometimes she's a Zava, sometimes she's a Nida. For this Mishnah, it doesn't really make too much difference. In other words, a man shouldn't eat on the same table with his wife when she's a Nida, unless you make a Heker. In other words, you have a Heker, you know, there'll be something on the table special, something in her clothes that's different. So they know that, you know, like, that we have to remember that she's a Nida, and I'm not allowed to have any contact with her. And the idea is that if a person, you know, if he puts down his guard, so then bad things happen. So same thing with like Yikra L'Oranir. If now I get engrossed in learning, I forget everything else. I forget about Shabbos. And the same thing with the Zav and the Zav. Now, mentions the Zav is also a Chole. The fact that he's Tamei isn't really the key here, is that he's a Chole. But even with the Chole, and he's not likely to want to have relations with the wife, but even he's admonished not to do it, and certainly a person who's Tahor. All right, now. All right. Now the Gemara brings a Mishnah down from Masechet. One second. Yeah, from Daf Tzadi Tet. So one second. Where is this Mishnah? Yeah, this is an Erevin. Yeah. So the Gemara quotes this Mishnah from Masechet Erevin. It says, and this will be subject to connection with our Mishnah. So we have to put the Mishnah one in a column, and now we're going in the Gemara, and the Gemara is addressing the Mishnah elsewhere, and then we'll connect the two. Says Gemara, Tanana Tam Lo Yamod Adam B'Rishud Yachid Yishtei B'Rishud Rabim. On Shabbos, I shouldn't stand in B'Rishud Yachid. Let's say I'm standing in my front yard with a fence around it, and it's got 10 Tefachim, B'Rishud Yachid. I shouldn't lean over and drink in the Rishus Rabim. If my house would be in the Rishus Rabim, you know, but the Rishus Rabim. He says, B'Rishud Rabim Yishtei B'Rishud Yachid. I shouldn't do the opposite either. He says, because then there's a concern that without realizing it, I'll grab the cup, and I'll bring it back to my Rishus, and I'll do Hotzah on Shabbos. I'll forget myself. You know, I'll be absorbed in my drinking, and let's say I'm leaning over, and I'm holding the cup, I'm in the Rishus Yachid, and I'm holding this cup in the Rishus Rabim. And then, if I lean over a little bit, then I'll bring the cup back to the Rishus Yachid, and then I did Hotzah on Shabbos, even though I only moved it, you know, a foot. So I shouldn't do that, and the other way around as well. Aval mechnis roshov rubel makom shu shotem mutar. But if he brings his head and most of his body into the rishus where the water is or the drink is, that's permissible because that'll be the hecker to him. The fact that his head and most of his body is there, that'll cause him to remember, oh, I know what's going on here, and I can't go to another rishus. Turn page on the top line on Yudalpam Beis. Then the Gemara says v'chein begat, and similarly with the wine press. We don't know what those words mean, and we're going to have to figure it out. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah. So we're going to dissect that Mishnah, extrapolate some rules from it, and then bring it back to our Mishnah. So the Gemara says ibayluhu. The question was asked in the Beis Medrash, Carmelite Mai. What if it would be the Mishnah addressed itself? I'm the Rishus Yachid. My water is in the Rishus Rabim. Rabim the Rishus Rabim. My water is in the Rishus Yachid. What if I'm in Rishus Yachid, my water is in the Carmelite? Or I'm in the Carmelite, my water is in Rishus Yachid? Or you do the same thing with Rishus Rabim. Is the prohibition the same or not? Now, again, a Carmelite is a Rishus Rabbanim. It's only rabbinically prohibited to carry from a Carmelite to Rishus Yachid, or from a Carmelite to Rishus Rabim. So Ibailu Karmli Moi. So Amar Abaye Hihi. So Abaye says it's a Zelbazach, which means the same thing. He says there's no difference. Rava Amar, he goof exera, but ananekum minigzer exera. Rava says, what do you mean? How could it be the same thing? In other words, if it's deraisa to do the hotza'a, so I understand the chami make exera, like a decree that I know shouldn't violate the Torah, the Easter on a Torah level, that I understand. But if the underlying Easter is only an Easter derabanan, which would be with the Carmelite, if then I make a gzeira that I shouldn't drink, lean, bend over and lean in different rishus and drink, because maybe I will carry from the Carmelite to the rishus yachid, so that's a gzeira l'gzeira. So we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. So, let's see back. So he says, Rav Amar, he goof a gzeira, but I don't make him an gzeira l'gzeira. So now, so Amar Abaye Mina Amina Lo. So Abaye holds that we do make a gzeira l'gzeira in this situation. Let's look at Tosfos. Okay, the second Tosfos, or the first Tosfos on the Daf, Amar Abaye, it's around the sixth narrow line. So Amar Abaye Mina Amina Lo, because reading gzeira l'gzeira, where do we know that we do make a gzeira l'gzeira? Now, normally there's a rule in Shas that we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. Here Abaye says we do make a gzeira l'gzeira. So he says, Dafka behotza'a gazar Abaye. So Tosfos says only by hotza'a he distinguishes. He says, Hotzah is in a category all by itself. All the proofs we're going to bring all deal with Hotzah, carrying. But in general, Abai agrees that you can't be Gozer L'Gzeira L'Gzeira. That Bereish Beitza Parach Abaye, L'man D'Gaza Beitza, Shinol D'Bi Yom Tov, Atu Peir Noshrim, Yikuf G'Zeira B'Anu Nekum V'Gomer. So the Gemara in the beginning, if you remember, in the beginning of Be'a, so the Gemara has a question. The Gemara learns that Beitza Shinol D'Bi Yom Tov is Muxa, right? Beitza Shinol D'Bi Yom Tov is an egg that's laid on Yantav, is muksa. So the first sugya in Be'a, why is it muksa? What's the problem? So one answer the Gemara says is because of peirot anoshrim. In other words, that let's say fruit come off a tree, we don't want to let you take the fruit on Shabbos because you'll come to pluck the fruit off on Shabbos. That's one gzeira. And this beitza is similar to the fruit. So Abai says, what type of hesber is that? The first thing is a gzeira, now you make a gzeira the gzeira. So we see that Abai does hold from you don't make a gzeira the gzeira. So the article brings down two hesberim, my hotzah is different. So he quotes, and this is in footnote 3, he quotes first from the Tosfos Rosh, transferring occurs with great frequency. So hotzah is a very, very common, malacha. The Chachamim saw we have to be more stringent with it. We got to weigh down the tupper on that. So we'll make a gzeira the gzeira, according to Abai. Or the Ran holds, people don't regard the Easter transferring as seriously as other categories of labor. In other words, people think Hotzah, it's not such a big deal. You gotta let the phone go. It'll ring. The idea is that excuse me one second. Let me just see who's here. One second. Give me one second.
Hello. You have reached 516-482-6815. At the tone, please leave your message. Hi, it's Chaim
Mirko
calling.
Chaim, listen, I'm in the middle of my Daf Yomi Shir, and so this is kind of interrupted. And if you want to hear the Daf Yomi Shir, it's fine. But otherwise, can you call me back in a half an hour? Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Okay, we're back online. Okay, I'm sorry for the interruption. All right. So, again, so when it comes to Hotza'ah, people don't think it's so chamor, because again, remember we said that Hotzah was a malacha grua, an inferior malacha, that you don't change the item. So they don't think Hotzah, it's such a big deal to carry on Shabbos. So therefore the Chamim, want to come in tougher with it. So both of them are saying that either it's so frequently, so you want to come in tougher, or people don't think of it. So just, that would be the reason zero. Okay, so back again. So we had with this issue, with the leaning over with the water, whether it applies to a Carmelite or not. So according to Abaye, it does, because we're going to make Xer the Xer when it comes to Otsah. And according to Rava, no, it has the with Carmelite, that would be Xer the Xer. We're not getting involved with it. So back in the Gemara. So So the third line. So he says, "Amar Rabbi Minami Elav." How do I know that what I'm saying is correct? The Katani became a gat, because the Braisa says that the same halacha applies to a gat. A gat is a wine press. In other words, we had about the drinking, and then the same halacha applies to a gat, to a wine press. He says, "My God, what do those words mean? What is the Tana saying?" So Irshud Yachid Tanina. If the gat is Rishud Yachid, so the Tana wouldn't repeat that. He already told me that I can't be in the Rishus, you know, the Yachid, and then lean over to the Rishus Arabim. He says Irshud Arabim Tanina, and if it's the Rishus Arabim, that's also covered in the Brisa. El Lav Karmli. So Abai says if it's not a Rishud Yachid and it's not a Rishud Arabim, so the last logical conclusion must be that it's a Karmli. So the way Abai is learning the Mishnah, it's the Mishnah. And not later on, in Masechet Eruvin, is that the Mishnah is saying V'chein Begat means like V'chein Becarmelit. V'chein Begat is like V'chein V'chein Becarmelit, and the thing would apply to Carmelit as well. So Rava Amar, V'chein Begat Le'inyan Maiser. Rava says no. The God has got nothing to do with Hotsa'ah. It doesn't relate to Hotsa'ah at all. It relates to Maiser, and the only connection is that we're talking about leaning over. So let me just say this outside, then we'll do it inside. So as you all know, you need to take, if you're growing the grapes in Eretz Yisrael, you need to take Trumas and Maasrot. So it's Chayav on Torah level, Trumas and Maasrot, so when the processing is done, then it's Chayav and Trumas and Maasrot. Before the processing is done, so rabbinically I'm not allowed to eat it, because it's Chayav and Trumas and Maasrot on a Drabanon level. But on a Drabanon level, if it's not, the processing isn't done, and with wine, the processing is done when I take the wine and I put it in the boar. In other words, I process the wine, I squeeze the grapes, the whole thing, and then I have like this boar where it's stored. That's the processing is finished when I put it in the boar. So before I put it in the boar, it's chayav on a Drabanon level. But when it's chayav on a Drabanon level, if I just want to take a snack, so then I don't have to take Trumas and Maestros. So I'm just snacking on it, so I'm not chayav in Trumas and Maestros. So the way that Rava understands the Mishnah, that if a person leans over with his head and most of his body and drinks the wine, that's eating it, that's consuming it, in a casual manner that makes it not chayav in Trumas and Maestros. But it's nothing to do with Hotsa'ah. It's just relating to leaning over and drinking, but not related to Hotsa'ah in any way. All right, let me see back in the Gemara. So, on line 5, Rava Amar b'chein begat linin maiser, b'chein Amar of Sheshet b'chein begat linin maiser. Didnan, because we learn the Mishnah, this Mishnah is Masechet Maasrot. He says, Shotin ala gat, bein ala chamin, bein ala tzonein, upatur divrei Meir. Meir says that one can lean over and drink wine over the wine press, means with your head and most of your body, whether you mix the wine with cold water or hot water, you can drink over. That's considered like snacking. It's like a casual drink. Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok Mechayev. Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok says, once you've added water, that's not a casual drink. That's already like, it's like finishing the processing. So you're chayev. In other words, once you add water, that's a whole different parsha. He says, V'chachamim omrim, l'chamim say, alachamim chayev. If you mixed it with warm water, then you are obligated to take Trumas and Maestros, because once you mix it with warm water, you're not going to put it back with the other grapes, he says. Al hatzonein patur, but if you mix it with cold water, you're patur, neishu machs yirin amotar, because then you would feel comfortable putting the best. Apparently with the warm water would mess up the fermentation process. So, but the key is that when you have to lean over with your head and most of your body, that's like a type of achilas arai or shtias arai in this case. All right, so again, so let's just focus. So we had a machloket between Abaye and Rava about whether by Hotsa'ah we're going to be gozer gzera gzera by Shabbos. Everybody got it? So we spoke about one thing, a person's in one Rishus and he's drinking, he's in the Rishus Yachid and he's got a cup. I have a cup of water right here so I can demonstrate. But I hope I don't spill it over. Okay, so I have my cup. There you go. This cup. Oh, there, okay. So I'm here in the Rishus Yachid. My cup is in the Rishus Arabim. And then I lean over. So the Tana of the Mishnah says that I shouldn't drink that way unless I lean over my head and most of my body. That'll be a hecker to me that I should not carry the cup into the other Rishus and be over on the Shabbos on the Dereis level. So then we said, what if instead of in the Rishus Arabim, what if I'm drinking in the Carmelit? So the worst case scenario, I would carry the cup from the Carmelit to Rishus Yachid. So the worst case scenario, I'd only be chayiv on a Drabanan level. Am I still prohibited from sipping a little bit without putting my head and most of my body in the other rishus. So Abayi says, absolutely, because we make a gzeirah l'gzeirah. You're right, this is a double gzeirah, because the underlying Easter is only drabanan, and this is a drabanan on top of that, but by Hotzah, we make the double gzeirah, and we gave the reasons for it before, because otherwise people don't think too much of Hotzah, or they do Hotzah all the time. And Rava says, no, we're not going to make a gzeirah l'gzeirah. And Ilachinami, if the other Rishus is a carmelite, so you can drink it just leaning over a little bit, and we're not worried about taking it over, because the worst case scenario, it's only a drabanan. All right, now, The Gemara is going to ask a series, or try to bring Raya's L'gabi Abayi. Now, Abayi v'Rava, you know which way this usually turns out. It doesn't turn out well for Abayi, usually, and here's another example where that's the way it usually goes, okay? So, okay, let me pause for some questions. So I got David, is that you, David?
Yes.
Okay, David, I can't see you. You weren't able to connect the camera?
Oh, something wrong with my camera. I can't figure it out.
All right.
Someone like that.
Okay.
Anyway, questions. Can you review the status of the hand again? When you have the cup outside and the Rishus HaRabim in your hand,
hand. All right. Herzach Tzu. It means like this. Let's make this really simple. Let's say there's a bottle of water that's resting. Somebody has to mute themselves. Somebody's making a big racket here. Wait. Who's this? Okay, good. Okay, now, I assume there's a bottle of water in the Rishus HaRabim. I'm in the Rishus HaYachid. And I just wanna lean over and take a sip of water from the bottle. That's what I assume the case. David, you can unmute, David.
Yeah, so I'm just so, because I was thinking if it was in your hand, we had this whole thing before the Gemara about the status of in your hand.
Right.
And you're saying maybe not in your hand, it's just outside somehow, and you're going to drink it.
Well, I assume you're going to do an Akira, in other words, you're going to lift it up, and then you're going to drink a little bit, because I don't really see any other way to do it. That would be the way to do it.
If you, let's say you move. You're over. You took your hand and you moved the cup outside. So now it's in your hand, outside.
Wait, I'm losing. I lost it. Where did the cup start and where did it end up?
Let's say before Shabbos.
Where is the cup? Where is the cup?
Okay, so it's before Shabbos, and the cup is now outside the window, and Shabbos comes. You're inside, the cup is outside the window.
Okay, so the cup is in the Rishus HaRabim.
Yeah, in your hand.
No. Listen, leave the hand out of it. Let's say, it's in the Rishus HaRabim. Now I'm going to do an Akira on Shabbos. And now, there's a concern that I'll do a hanacha in the Rishus HaYachid. All right, now let's focus back on the Gemara. So, any other questions? Everybody good?
Okay. Yeah, I got a question.
Who's got a question?
I got a question.
Yeah, what's up, Yosef?
This machloket between Rabbah and Abayi is all over Shas or just for carrying on Shabbat?
Well, Abayi and Rabbah have a million machloket throughout Shas.
This
machloket is just by Hotzah. Just by Hotzah.
Okay.
All right, now. So the bottom line is, Abayi says when it comes to Hotzah, we can have Gzeira L'Gzeira. Rava says we can't have Gzeira L'Gzeira. Now we're going to shift back to our Mishnah that we did a little while ago. Tanan, everybody with me, around the 10th line on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, Lo Yetzei Achai P'machto Samuch L'Chashecha Shemin Shkach V'Yetzei. It's that a tailor can't walk out on Friday afternoon with his needle because we're afraid that he'll forget and he'll walk out on Shabbos with it. My love, the tchuvelo bevigdo, is it not that we're talking about, let's say, that the needle is stuck, let's say, in his lapel of his jacket? Now, if again, you know, the top of the Hotzah, like, people have this misconception that if I'm wearing it, it's not Hotzah. You know, I have a necklace and I put a key through the necklace, it's not Hotzah. But in order not to be Hotzah, it has to be either a malbush, the clothing, you know, which is doing something for my body, or a tachshit, a bona fide tachshit. Not some crazy thing that people would never wear. You know, that's not, in other words, if I take the key to my house, I put a safety pin and I pin it into my clothing, that's Hotzah. I'm carrying on Shabbos, notwithstanding the fact that it's with the safety pin and things like that. So, so with the tailor who's going out with the pin in his lapel, that's not derech Hotzah. So that, we think, would be just a drabanim. In other words, if a tailor walks around with a needle in his lapel on Shabbos, he'd be violating Shabbos on a rabbinic level. It's not the derech hotzah, right? Remember we said that it has to be melechet machshevet. You have to do all the melachot kedarka in the normal fashion. So he would not be chayav on a derech level. So tana lo yisei chayav b'machtos lemelcha she'ish b'chav yisei my lab t'chulo b'vigdo. So if that's true, then that's a proof for Abaye, because now we have gzeira l'gzeira on Shabbos. I'd be over on the rabbanim level. So the mission is saying that on Friday I shouldn't walk around, you know, near nightfall, before Shabbos, with the pin in my lapel. So the underlying aver is just an isur drabanan, and we're making gzeira, so that's proof to Abaye, that by hotzah we have gzeira to gzeira. So he says, lo, dinaki leviyade. So the Gemara says, no, the way Rava will learn the Mishnah is not that he's walking around with the needle in his lapel, he's walking around with the needle in his hand. And he's walking around with the needle in his hand. He shouldn't do that Friday afternoon because he may forget and then continue to walk around with it. Doesn't seem so comfortable walking around with a needle in the hand, but that's what he says. Okay, so Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring another proof to Abaye. He says, Lo yetzei achai p'machto ha-tchubelo b'vigdo. So this is a brisa. The brisa is talking about the same topics as our Mishnah, but a slightly different formulation. The brisa says, Lo yetzei achai p'machto ha-tchubelo b'vigdo, that on Friday afternoon, a tailor... or it doesn't say the time, but we assume it's Friday afternoon, a tailor shouldn't walk around with a needle that's like stuck in his lapel. So now, if that's the case, so now Rav is sunk. I have a brice that's on all fours of the bay. By Rav Amarayim, so if the brice is one way, that's going to be bad news for Rav. So my la, Be'er of Shabbat, is it not that brice is talking about on Friday afternoon, before Shabbos? Lo, kitanya hi b'Shabbat. He says, no, that b'raisa is talking about on Shabbos. So the b'raisa isn't relating directly what we learned to the Mishnah. The b'raisa is just saying, on Shabbos, a tailor shouldn't walk around with a needle in his garment because that's hotzah on a drabanan level. It's not a gzeira, the gzeira, it's one gzeira. V'hatanya, now the b'raisa says, but we have another proof we're trying, a different b'raisa. V'hatanya, lo yisei'chai b'machto ha'tchuva b'vigdo b'erev Shabbat im chashecha. This b'raisa says that a tailor shouldn't go with a needle in his lapel on Friday before nightfall. So now we think it's like Barachel B'chag Ketana. Now we think Rava is sunk. Now we, because each time we kind of wiggled out with it. We said, no, it's not talking about that it's in his lapel. He's carrying it. Or it's talking about on Shabbos, not talking about before Shabbos. So now we have a brice that explicitly says that a tailor shouldn't walk around on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, with a needle in his lapel. It doesn't have to be lapel in his garment, but I'm saying his lapel. He says... so that really seems that would be a proof to Abaye, that we have Xavier Lixavier, Abaye and Tzah. So the Gemara says, Hamami, Rabbi Yehudi, the Amar, Uman, Derech Umanoto, Chayav. The Gemara says, who does that Brisa go like? This is the way that Rava will explain it. That Brisa follows the sheet to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Uman, a craftsman, if it's the way that the craft doing that, he's Chayav. So in other words, we assume that if you walk around with a needle and lapel, that's not derech hotzah. People don't walk around like that. But tailors do walk around like that. They want to advertise that they're tailors. They want everybody to know that they're tailors. It's interesting, you know, like in Yiddish culture, it's like the, you know, the Schneider is not so much an esteemed, you know, in a position in society. But anyway, people wanted to advertise. I'm sure they're very good tailors, you know, and things like that. But anyway, but so the tailor wants to advertise it. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if the tailor walks out on Shabbos with the needle in his lapel, he's not chayav on a derabanan level, he's chayav on a deraisa level, the Torah level. So if I say don't do it on Friday, it's just one gzeira, not a gzeira, the gzeira. Okay, that's back in the Gemara. So he says, one second. So that brisa goes like according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's carrying his accoutrements, as he says, in the manner of his craft. He's liable for a Torah prohibition, even though it would be unusual for other people, but for him, that's normal. He says, "D'tanya, we learn in the Brisa, lo yitzei achai p'machto atchubelo b'vigdo, that a tailor shouldn't go out on Shabbos with a needle in his garment, v'lo nagar b'kisim shabazno, and the carpenter shouldn't go out on with like a ruler, like behind his ear. Like I'm sure you saw also. The way I remember when I was younger, like people, maybe they still do it. They would wear like, they would have a pencil like behind their ear, you know, working a thing like that. So the Nagar, the carpenter, he's got like some sort of ruler. Like he shouldn't walk around with a ruler behind his ear. He says, "Velo sorek b'mashicha shiba ozno." And the sorek is the fuller, the one who's like combing the wool. He shouldn't go out with the cord. He uses the cord either to tie up the wool or to tie up these thistles to like comb the wool. He says, "Velo gardi b'irishu ozno." The gardi is the weaver. And we're going to have, there's a gemara that's coming up about these in a few days, about the gardiim, that there was something they didn't know in the base medrash until these two weavers came and taught. Anyway, it says, "Velo gardi be irish shabozno." The gardi, the weaver, shouldn't go be irish shabozno. Irish shabozno is he says the stopper behind his ear. It's like they would have, they like, in other words, like he's weaving. It's like they got the warp and the weft, and he's like throwing the spool of wool, like, you know, to weave into it. And he doesn't want the whole thing to unspool; just wants a little bit to unspool. So he has like a stopper to put in there. But he shouldn't put the point is that these are like, you know, kalim in their crafts. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "Below tzaba bedugma shibetzavaro," and the dyer who's dyeing clothes shouldn't go with like these swatches. He says "betzavaro," which is really like the neck. Here they translate it as on his shoulder. He says "below shulchani bediner shibozno," and the shulchani is the money changer. Shouldn't go out bediner shibozno. They said with a dinar behind his ear. I thought like a dinar maybe in the ear, but he says behind the ear. "Vimiyatza patura balasur dibre meir." So if any of them go out on Shabbos, they violated on a drabbanon level. That's not the derech hotza. That's not the normal way of carrying. People don't go around carrying things that way. They do go carrying it, so they're not chayiv on a derech level. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are bar pluktas throughout Shas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, uman derech umanato chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says that the craftsman, that's his in his trade. You're right. Everybody doesn't go out like that. But craftsmen do go out like that. That's what we think the pshat is. The craftsman does go out like that. He says, "Ushar kol adam patur." So, according to the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, if I go out with a needle in my lapel, so I only violate Shabbos on a derabbanan level. But if a tailor goes out, he's chayav on a derais level. The tailor, he wants to advertise that he's a tailor. And the shulchani wants to advertise that he's a shulchani. He's got the coin in his ear or behind his ear, whatever. So he's chayav on a derais level. Everybody's on a derabbanan level. Okay, so again, so we were able to answer up the Braisa for Rava. So the Braisa said that on Friday, you can't, you know, walk out with the needle in his lapel, the tailor, even though it's before Shabbos. So Rava will say that Braisa is following the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds for a tailor, it is a Malacha Daraisa, so it's just one Gzeira. Okay, so that's where we're at with this. Now, so where we're at is really like a Mexican standoff. So they each have their shitot, and then we're going to go on a little bit. Now the Gemara says, okay, so I'm around 8 lines from the bottom on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, around 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, all right, everybody good so far? Any questions? Any questions at this point? If you have a question, unmute yourself. All right, so I'm going on. All right, I wish I knew who everybody was here. All right, let's see. You know, when you don't show me the faces, I don't know who everybody is. Who's PP? PP, PPQ, can you unmute yourself for a minute, PP? PP? Who is that? Who's PP?
It says Paul Pizer.
Oh, so nice having you, Mr. Pizer. Welcome. Okay, and RS is who?
Ruth Shai.
Oh, Ruth. Okay, let's go back. You know, if everybody could get their cameras working, it would be much easier for me. All right, I don't have the names. All I have is the letters. I don't have the names showing up. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so 8 lines from the bottom. It says, Tani Chada, Lo Yetzei Azav B'Kiso. Everybody's got to mute themselves. Okay, Yosei, please mute yourself, okay? So he says, one Bryce we learn, Lo Yetzei Azav B'Kiso. Azav is a man who has like a type of emission. Like they translated gonorrhea, I don't know if it's really gonorrhea, but he has an emission, but it's not Shechvat Zera, not semen. So he says, so Tani Chadi, we learn in one Bryce, again, we're doing with Hotsa'a. So he says, one Bryce says, Azav shouldn't go out B'Kiso, his pouch, it's like, he has like a pouch around his member to catch all the Ziva that's going to come out on Shabbos. So you shouldn't do that on, you shouldn't do that on Shabbos. B'miyatzah patur rabban asur. If he did that, he's only violating Shabbos on a drabbanon level. B'tani idach lo yitzeh b'miyatzah chayav chatat. And another brayso we learn, he shouldn't do it. If he does, he violates Shabbos on a Torah level. So Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha. So Rav Yosef said the two brayses are, we can reconcile them. Ha Reb Meir, ha Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir, who holds that the chayat, if he walks out, so with the needle, so it's not the normal way of going out, people don't go out that way, so he only violates Shabbos on the Rabbanan level. So he's going to say, if people don't walk out on Shabbos with this pouch, and it's just the Zav walks out with the pouch, so it's not the Derech Hotzah, so, and it's not considered a Malbush here, this pouch is not a Malbush, because it's not protecting the body, it's not keeping the body warm, so it's not considered a malbush, even though it's tied to him, you see? So the way that Rav Yosef says, Rav Meir will say it's a din d'rabbanan, and Rav Yehuda holds that I can have a subset within society, like just like the craftsmen, they can have a subset where they will be chayav on a d'raisa level. So Rav Yehuda will hold that the zav also, for the zav, that is a normal way to go out, and Mimela, he is chayav for what's on a Torah level. That's what we think. So Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Kasha, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says to Rav Yosef, and again, Abaye studied by Rav Yosef, and he also studied by Rabba. Alright, so Amar Le Abaye, Eimor Deshama Le Rabbi Meir, B'mini Delav Hainu Orachai. So now the Gemara shifts gears somewhat in understanding Rav Meir's Shita. When Rav Meir says that you're only Chayev on a Drabana level, is that's something that's lav hainu orche. In other words, we thought that it's not the normal fashion to go out with, let's say, the needle or the coin behind the ear and things like that. But for the shulchani, it is normal. For the chayit, it is normal. Now the Gemara is saying, no, even for the tailor, that's not the normal way to go out. It's just sometimes the tailor wants to advertise, he puts the needle in his lapel. But most times the tailor won't walk out that way. Even tailors don't walk out that way. So then, more limited. So then, under those circumstances, Rav Meir says, you're only chayit on a drabanan level. He says, b'midi dainu orche. But if that's the derech to go out, meaning like with the zav, the zavim all go out that way, would he say you're only chayav on a drabanan level? No, he'd say you're chayav on a deraisa level. Because if you don't say that, excuse me, elamiata, hedyo shechakab bakad b'shabad, remeir hachinamid l'machayev. Let's say I have an amateur. He's doing a malacha, not hotza'a. There's different ways to learn this sugya, but he's doing he's carving out a hole in a beam. In other words, he's building on Shabbos, and he carves out a hole the size of a kav in a beam on Shabbos. But he's an amateur. He doesn't do it the 100% professional way. So according to Meir, he's not going to be chayev because that's not the normal way to do it. No, he would be chayev, because there are a lot of amateurs who do it. So in the same way, if there are people who do this, Rav Meir would subscribe to the idea that you are a chayev on a deraisa level. The only reason he holds by the tailor, not chayev, is because even tailors normally don't go out that way. It's just sometimes when they want to advertise, they go out that way. So that won't fly. That hesber won't fly. So we have the contradiction with the two braises, with the kiss. So we have to explain it. So Elamar of Hamnuna, lo kasha. Rav Hamnuna says there's no contradiction between the two braises. One braise says that Zav will be chayev on a drabanan level. One braise says, excuse me, that the Zav will be chayev on a Torah level. He says, lo kasha, kan v'zav bal shtei re'iot, kan v'zav bal shlosh re'iot. If you remember by a Zav, so if he sees twice, he has to count seven clean days. If he sees three times, he counts seven clean days, and then he brings korbanot. So there's a big significance to the Zav to know whether he's seen twice or he's seen a third time. That's, he needs to know that. So so the Braisa, we think, that says that he's chayev on a deraisa level is where he was Zav bal shtei riyot. He saw twice before, and now he's concerned that on Shabbos he's going to see for the third time. He's going out with the pouch, because that's going to inform him whether he's now a Zav in a different category, now he's chayev a korban. So that's a davar chashuv. It's like a highly significant purpose based on halacha. So he gets elevated to hotzana, deraisa level, we think. And he says, whereas the Zav bal shlosh riyot, he's just like, he's already seen it three times, so he already hit the jackpot, so there's no great significance in you know, seeing how many times it goes out, so he'd only be chayev, we think, on a drabanan level. He says, ma'ishan zav bal shtei riyot to chayev, to be ba'ilei the b'dika. So he says, why is the Baal, the Zav who sees it twice, why is he high at the right level? Because he has to do b'dika. He has to check to see whether he had another remission. Zav Baal shlosh namim ba'ilei the sphere, but a Zav who's seen three times, now he's got to count 7 clean days. So he also has an important reason for keeping that pouch. So the Gemara is lo nistracha lebo bayom. The Gemara says that what the Braisa is talking about is bo bayom. In other words, on the day that he saw three times today. Now it's Shabbos, so he hit the jackpot on Shabbos. Now he's a zav. He's got to count 7 clean days. The 7 clean days won't begin until tomorrow, Sunday. So words were Saturday night, Sunday will be the first of the 7 clean days. So he has no important reason to going out with that pouch on Shabbos. But Sha'en Kane, the Zav, who only saw twice, so it's important for him to know whether he sees again. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and we'll wrap it up, and then Blee Netter will say a parak and tell him for Sal and Zelda, okay? So the Gemara says three lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, and we'll finish this sugya tomorrow, he says, he needs it so he won't dirty his garments. In other words, isn't that a significant purpose that he doesn't want to farshmutz his clothes? So Amr Bzeira, Haitana Huda Amar, Kulasuli Tinaf Lo Kachashiv. So he says this Tana holds that preventing shmutz on the garments is not a chashiv purpose. And I'll do a few lines and we'll pick up again tomorrow on this topic. Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, now remember this is talking about remember there are 7 machshirim. Remember that in order for food to be makabel tuma, it also has to finish processing, but it has to have one of the 7 fluids go on it. And the 7 fluids, Fern, you remember what the mnemonic is, right, Fern? What's the mnemonic, Fern? Do you remember? Fern? Unmute yourself. Can you hear me? All right. Unmute. Yeah, you remember, but you're muted. All right. Anyway, so okay, now you got it.
He's off here.
Yeah. So what's the mnemonic? Do you remember the mnemonic device?
For
the machshirim. There's 7 machshirim. Anyway. It's okay. Anyway, it's Yad Shachat Dam.
It was good.
Yad Shachat Dam. Yad Shachat Dam. So it's like Yayin and Davash. Anyway, each one of the 7 letters represents a different fluid. So I have to have one of the 7 machshirim on the fruit in order for it to be makabel tuma, and I have to want that machshir should go on the fruit, or by extension that I wanted the machshir to go on something else, even though it ended up on the fruit. But and it's based on the pasuk ki yutan mayim ochel zera zeru asher yizareya. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, he says tidan hakofet ka'ara lakotel, if I took like a plate or a bowl and I flipped it over onto the wall, imishfil shatuda chakara hareza b'chuyutan. In other words, now it's raining, and if I put the bowl on the wall because I want the bowl to get washed in the rain, so then if some of that water splashes on food, so then that food got a machshir, even though I didn't want the liquid on the food, but I wanted the liquid on the plate, that by extension that works that way. He says, in Bishvil, on the top line on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, in Bishvil, Shalom Yilakeh Kotel, but if the reason I put the plate or the bowl, how does he translate it here, I put the plate on the wall, is I don't want the water to get onto the wall, Einon Bechiyutan, so it's not Bechiyutan. So the Gemara takes it that when I'm putting to protect the wall, that's not chashuv. That's what we think is going on. So if you look at Rashi's top Rashi, Dainu Atzulitina, Flo Chashuv Lay Hachkaviya. In other words, so flipping it over isn't so chashuv for that. All right, I think that's got to be it. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Good question.
Yeah, what's up?
Good question.
No, go ahead.
Can you wear a Band-Aid? You know, you have a wound, it's bleeding on Shabbos. You don't want your clothes to get schmutz. But so why, what's the issue about wearing a Band-Aid outside? Now, why is that different from this Zav? Why is a Band-Aid any different?
Yeah, so the Band-Aid with the thing, yeah, well, I'd say one difference is the Band-Aid is not just to prevent the schmutz. The Band-Aid is also to protect the finger, right? It's to protect the wound. So if it's protecting...
Well, because it's supposed to not bleeding already. You just want to wear it, So you got a scab. You shouldn't wear a Band-Aid? Wear a Band-Aid?
I think the way the Band-Aid is working, that you're wearing it to protect whatever's there. So if you that's what it does.
You don't need it anymore. Like, you got a flu shot. They put a Band-Aid on. You don't need it anymore. You should take it off.
I have to look into that. I got to look into that. All right. Any other questions? Okay. So then, again, the learning tonight was for Refu Shleima of Sal and Zelda Berger, and we hope, and Mayor, when you speak to Sal, please tell him that we learned and for Refu Shleima for him, and that we all very much want him to have a speedy recovery. That's and the Daf Yomi is of course named for Sal Berger. That's for Shlomo Yisrael.
But wait, their Hebrew names are.
I have it. Fern,
Zelda Baba Bat Leia.
Fern, I have it.
And Shlomo Yisrael Ben Reizel.
Okay, Fern, I have it. Okay, so it's Shlomo.
Okay,
Shlomo Yisrael Ben Reizel and Zelda Baba Bat Leia. Okay, let me turn off this tape 1 second.